You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Alex Dunn, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Martin in the studio. Doncaster and Taunton over the obstacles and Lingfield on the all-weather during the afternoon and evening action as well from Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth. How are you, sir?
Yeah, getting the news early here, Mark, for tomorrow's action. And it's pretty low-key stuff, but hopefully we can find a couple of winners at Kempton and Taunton tomorrow.
Hopefully so. That's the two meetings that Craig has a fancy at. We'll move on to that in just a little while, but plenty of news for middle of the week anyway. We've got quite a bit to talk about here, Craig, so we'll rattle through some of these news stories. Champion Hurdle to start with, and Verdana Blue, who of course got the better of reigning champion hurdler Bouvardaire at Christmas time, is intended to take on the reigning champion hurdler yet again in the big race at Cheltenham. Providing that the ground isn't soft, we could see a rematch at Prestbury Park, and given what we saw on Boxing Day, could be quite a rematch as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lovely mare, Verdana Blue. You know, she's always promised to be a good hurdler. I remember going back to round about this time 12 months ago, Mark, and, you know, she was going to be one of my better bets at the festival in the county hurdle, but she was entered in the champion back then, and obviously she's improved her form since then. She obviously beat last year's champion hurdle winner at Kempton. I think, you know, Bouvardaire made a couple of costly mistakes on that occasion, and Cheltenham does suit Bouvardaire much the better. I mean, she's entitled to take a chance, particularly after the Christmas hurdle win, but if you ask me right now, I would fancy Bouvardaire to reverse that form from what we've seen on Boxing Day.
Interesting to see how they do eventually line up for the champion hurdle, because we've got another mare in the lineup there in the shape of Lorena, who would be a very interesting contender. Bouvardaire the favourite at 6-4 at the moment. Lorena 3-1, 9-1 for Mellon, 10-1 Charger, Apples Jade 12-1, 12-1 Verdana Blue, and 14s or bigger Apples Jade. Another mare in there, could be one for the ladies in the end.
Yes, of course. You know, Willie Mullins has obviously got to make a decision of where they're going to run his likeable performer. You know, there's a lot of talk and of whether she's up to it, and obviously small field at the weekend, we didn't really learn a lot. Obviously there's going to be bigger assignments ahead. I presume she's probably going to have a next start the Irish Racing Festival at the beginning of February, so you know, I think there's still plenty of water to pass under the bridge in terms of the champion hurdle entries, Mark, and who's actually going to go there, and which of the talented mares is going to bypass this for the easier task of the mares hurdle.
Couple of stories with regards to some of the chases as well that we've seen. Ryanair Chase, the likely target for Waiting Patiently, given the trip. You can see the angle, can't you?
Oh, of course you can. You know, unfortunately, we never got to see how good Waiting Patiently was on Boxing Day in the King George. Brought down on that occasion. It does have an entry for Kempton this Saturday, but looking at the forecast, you've got to think that is unlikely. They're desperate for rain for Waiting Patiently, and obviously, you know, that trip in the Ryanair at this stage of his career will obviously suit much better than the Gold Cup, but they need to get a good run into him, and obviously the weather hasn't been on their side so far. You know, it's very unusual in terms of the ground everywhere at the moment, much drier than you usually get for January time, so you know, obviously they're looking for a little bit of help from the gods to get his season underway.
Yeah, the Jefferson camp might just be doing a bit of a rain dance over the next few weeks. 7-1 co-favourite of 3 for the Ryanair with Footpad and Min at the moment. 10-1 Balco de Fleur, Kemboy along with Mona Lee and Underso also all 10-1, and 12s bar those. That's the betting as it stands for the Ryanair chase.
Frodon has to be of interest, Mark. Really, really important.
12-1.
When winning a handicap, you know, he's one of the main horses that interest me looking ahead. I haven't done too much work, you know, in terms terms of anti-post stuff for that. But the way Froden won the handicap at the December meeting at Cheltenham, he's a massive player in the Ryanair. So if there was to be a bet at this stage, he would definitely be the one.
Staying with the Staying Chasers, just a bit of news as well about Elegant Escape. Apparently, straight to the Gold Cup for Elegant Escape now, 33-20 in the market. Just a little bit of a added note about the Staying Chasers, one that we won't see at the Cheltenham Festival. News breaking on Tuesday as we record this, or just before we record this. Master Dino, who was the 9-2 favourite for the JLT Novices Chase, very impressive on his British debut at the weekend. Unfortunately, he suffered a fracture. He's had some screws, I think, put in where he's fractured the leg there, and we're not going to see him for the rest of the season, which is disappointing because he looked a talent.
Yeah, he did. I mean, the faster they went, and in the latter stages of the race at Plumpton, the better he looked. You know, when there was going slower in the early part of the race, his jumping was a little hesitant, but he warmed to the task beautifully, and you know, he's beaten a useful type at Plumpton last time, but obviously, you know, disappointing that we're not going to see his progress certainly for the remainder of this season, and hopefully we'll see this horse back on track next year, because listening to his usual jockey James Reevely speaking last night, this was before the news broke on the injury, you know, they were looking at something like the JLT, and also, you know, because he's still so good over hurdles, they had the option of going for the French champion hurdle, which is later in the season. So big blow to their plans, and hopefully they can get that horse back on track quickly, because he did look an exciting prospect.
It was a bit of a shake up in the market on the back of his success for the JLT, and it will change again, so we'll get you updated betting on the website pretty shortly. Final thing I want to talk to you about, Craig, before we get stuck into the best of Wednesday's action. Grand National Hero, a horse who's had plenty of injury problems himself, won for Arthur, only seen him once back on the track this season when he unseated Ryder on his return in the Many Clouds Chase. Apparently the next test for him is going to be at Haydock. They're aiming him at the Peter Marsh, which I think would be logical race to send him to.
Yeah, and you know, if you're looking for soft ground at any track in the country, Haydock's probably the most likely place to find it. So, you know, hopefully conditions are okay for one for Arthur to take his chance, and he can put that blip on his return behind him. You know, he's had some time off, and you know, I'm sure they're looking to get a good solid run into the horse.
Finally, Craig, what did you make of the results over Christmas, really? Because there were a lot of upsets, weren't there, this Christmas period? There were a lot of favourites that were towards the head of the market for the Cheltenham races as well that didn't either run their race for one reason or another, or they didn't perform quite as well as we expected them to. Does it throw the form book in the air a little bit at this point?
Yeah, it does. I know it wasn't terrific for punting purposes, Mark. Even, you know, looking away from the obvious upsets, you know, there's some strange results. I didn't get too heavily involved after a blank day on Boxing Day. But, yeah, there are a lot of surprises over that period. And, of course, when you start getting into this month as well, the yards using the vaccinations for the horses, and there's certain stables take a dip in form, and obviously there's horses on the sidelines where they get 2 or 3 weeks off and brought back, and yeah, it's a very, very difficult time, and no doubt that's why we're seeing some strange results.
Let's move on to the action on Wednesday then. Hopefully we won't see strange results and Craig can get these right for us. We're going to go to Taunton first of all. The 255 is the race that he's picked out there. It's a handicap hurdle of 2 miles and 3 furlongs. It's a very interesting race name, that, because it's Eyes Down for the Crammer's Chase handicap hurdle, which makes it a little bit confusing. 2.5 mile handicap hurdle pretty much anyway. 5 of them going to post for this one, Craig. So a pretty small field. How do you see it panning out?
Well, let's hope all the jockeys will be chasing home Harry Skelton here, Mark, because not that fuse is the horse I like here. You know, speaking about yards, Dan Skelton's figures for January aren't usually as high as other months, but this is a horse that's definitely caught the eye on his last two starts. He finished 6th in the Grapewood Hurdle on the inside of the track, you know, where when they come into the straight, you want to be as close to the stands rail as possible. Last time back at Cheltenham, he was held up in the early stages. He had to make his ground up quickly when the pace was lifting, and that was a very difficult task. He got outpaced again from there before staying on strongly to take a very encouraging second. Shaping like he would improve massively for a step up and trip, a couple of extra furlongs. And another thing in his favour tomorrow, Mark, is that he should have a good pace to track down. Totter Down has only got one way of running. He's a very strong, prominent front runner. And the in-form horse at the bottom of the weights for Evan Williams, Gowalla, who has won and finished second on his last two starts. He's made the running on both occasions. So there should be a very strong pace on here, and that will suit the Skelton runner. And I think he's handicapped to go very close in the 2.55 at Taunton.
And I suppose the question mark in the race is whether Style de Garde actually goes with them, because he's got the ability, but he doesn't always want to put it in there. And mentioning the early pace, what we have seen of him recently, when he does set off, he's keen as mustard, so that would help as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought even if everything drops right for him, you know, I still don't want to back him off a mark of 138. He's a few pounds higher than ideal for me. So, you know, and that's if everything goes okay, which obviously, as you said, Mark, that is not guaranteed. But hopefully he sets off and, you know, we see a good race.
Not that, if we say the selection for Craig then in that 2.55 at Taunton. The next selection comes during the evening portion of the show, the 7.15 at Kempton Park, a handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one. It's probably going to be 4-1, 9-2, the field kind of event, Craig, so this one's definitely more open, if nothing else.
Well, to be honest, Mark, I thought this was pretty much a match on paper. Bryuni, obviously, as a horse who, you know, made his mark look stupid, really, two starts back when he completely missed the kick, overcame a lot of trouble in running, and he still won pulling the bus. It was an incredible performance, and he went up £8, rightly so, for that. Last time, he couldn't get away with similar tactics. You know, off a higher mark, he missed the kick, he stayed on, finishing fourth in the end. I still think he's a horse capable of better, and he could still be well handicapped, but I'm going to go with a horse that ran well at Wolverhampton last week in Viola Park. On the night, the track was very, very difficult for front runners. The majority of the winners at Wolverhampton last week came from off the pace. Viola Park was one that ran really well, setting the pace. He was just touched off by Grey Destiny, a tricky customer, and he'd done nothing wrong in defeat. He remains in good form. He won here on his penultimate start off a £3 lower mark. He's got an excellent draw in stall three for a straightforward front-running type. And over 7 furlongs, I think Viola Park can keep this good run going and get his head back in front.
Viola Park then to register another course and distance success at Kempton for Craig in the 7.15, and that goes along with his selection over at Taunton, which was not that fuise in the 2.55. Great stuff as always, Craig. Thank you very much. Very best of luck and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
And you can join Craig on Racing Radio along with Alex Dunn and Andrew Mount. They're live from 12:40 p.m. We've got Doncaster and Taunton throughout the afternoon alongside Lingfield and Kempton Park throughout the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.